Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 40% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your DSW store is on sale right now. Sneakers, sandals, any style. If they're on the clearance racks, they're 40% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
Spiegel and Holmes.
You guys are great.
You're right. Thanks, Chris.
We'll send him the book.
That is Chris Ranji.
Afternoons on the Score.
Before we get out of here today, we are going to give you a couple of general admission tickets to the Windy City Smokeout on Saturday, July 12th. Performances that day include Kane Brown and Megan Maroney and more. For tickets and more, visit WindyCitySmokeout.com and keep the phone number in mind, 312-540-0670, because we're going to tell you to call us at some point, and then you could win tickets maybe.
It's quite a thing that happened last night at Sox Park, Lawrence, when Ketel Marte was clearly weeping during the game, and there was a mound visit, and Torrey Lovello, his manager, came out and put the arm around his neck, and baseball Twitter was trying to figure out
what was going on.
And I think Ildemaro Vargas had just hurt himself and added to a long, long list of Diamondbacks who've gotten hurt and either gone onto the injured list or sat out. Their whole season has kind of fallen apart.
They couldn't really spare, like, losing him physically. They couldn't spare that because of all of the injuries that the Diamondbacks have had throughout the season.
So the guess during the game was, it's just a really hard year and all the injuries and their whole season falling apart and all that. But after the game, it was revealed to be much, much more than that.
And I guess it started during the first at bat where a fan was yelling all sorts of stuff. So much so, like, when you watch the video, you could see the umpire also kind of be like, wait, what? What was that? That it was just said to Marte. And Marte calls a timeout while he's in the box, and he's like working through it. He's like, okay, I'm gonna try to collect myself and get back in the at bat. He then pops up, and then he's frustrated with that.
And you can see, even as he's running back to the dugout, he's looking over towards the fan. And then he's in the dugout, and he steps up to the top step and looks over the dugout at the fan. So, like, the guy got in his head, because apparently he said something about his mother that passed away in a car accident in 2017.
Yeah, she died in a car accident in the Dominican Republic in 2017. And so, like, I think we all feel like that's way beyond the line of friendly banter or even messing with a player to try and do something like that.
To do research and find something in their personal life and then heckle them with it?
Yeah, and Lovello was upset about it. And he said, like, I had heard him, you know, and it went beyond. And he didn't like it. And it's sad. So why don't we let you hear from Torrey Lovello after the game last night and why he was impacted, why Marte was impacted.
We have to go to Ketel Marte, and there was obviously a very emotional scene out there, and we know how close you are with him. What can you share with us?
Yeah, just
It was a terrible moment. Fans are nasty, and fans go too far sometimes. And I love my players, and I'm going to protect them.
Your protection starts way before today, though. You guys go so far. It's up. We were talking on the air. I know you're a father figure to him, are you not?
Right, yeah. You know, I've known Cattell for 9 years, and he's had some unbelievably great moments and some hardships as well, and some really, really tough moments in his life. And I know those. And at the end of the day, we're human beings and we have emotions, and I saw him hurting and I want to protect him.
Can you tell us what you told him?
I love you and I'm with you and we're all together and you're not alone. And no matter what happens, no matter what was said or what you heard, that guy's an idiot and shouldn't have an impact on you.
Torrey Lovello is widely thought to be a beautiful human being. I know lots of people that know him well. I don't know him at all, but I know people who knew him in Boston as a coach from 13 to 16. That's Demp and Peavy and Lackey and many others, and some Boston media know him well. And then he's been the Arizona manager since 2017. He's been there a long, long time. And widely thought to be a beautiful guy, and that sure sounds like it right there.
And he talked about, you know, that thing kind of takes over, and you know this as a parent. I'm only guessing from being an uncle and from being an educator, but I know how I am in those moments. Like, I know how I am with my students and how I would feel.
Oh, man.
If someone said something sideways to one of my students, I would probably want to fight
them. And when you see them affected like that, he sees a guy who he loves as a player and as a man that affected and that broken down by it.
Yeah. So the White Sox, from what I'm told, you know, I talked with some people over there today. There were a lot of people in that section who were uncomfortable with it, and they were there pointing it out. The fan was removed and has since been banned, and he's been banned from all major league stadiums. And it's kind of difficult, like the banning of it, because of some states, facial recognition technology is legal. Some states, it's not. The name connected to the ticket, like there.
You could get another ballpark app.
Yeah, like you could. There are ways around it, but all the steps that the White Sox and Major League Baseball can take, they are taking.
Good.
Now, there are reports from some of the security people that when they were taking the fan out, that there was some remorse that was being shown by the fan.
Too late.
I wonder if that's remorse for getting caught more than it is, and perhaps with some reflection, because this fan is reportedly 22 years old, perhaps with some reflection and some maturity, maybe he will understand why this was so wrong and so crossed the line. I personally enjoyed hearing about and seeing White Sox players, because there's a couple that were teammates with Marte, White Sox players going over to the Diamondbacks clubhouse.
Last night.
White Sox players hugging him today on the field. Vargas, I believe, was one of the players that made a point to go over and hug him, and that support. The White Sox, from what I was told, they were appalled by this. And considering that, forget about the play, forget about the White Sox as a baseball team for a second, although there is a little bit of news about the White Sox as a baseball team that we'll get to at some point. Organizationally, things have actually been looking up for the White Sox over the last month or so.
Oh, yes. They've started to turn a corner as an organization, in my opinion.
And with all the really good feelings about the Pope being a White Sox fan and all the fun that was had with that, they don't like it. This is not who they want the image of White Sox fans to be. I loved that they put a sign up for Cattell Marte.
I've got it right here.
In his first at bat.
They put up on the big screen, "Baseball is family. The White Sox community supports Cattell Marte." And Will Venables spoke pregame and urged the fans to cheer. Ketel Marte in his first at bat as well. I can tell you that my son was there as part of his camp day trip.
Oh, that's right. I forgot that he was going to the game today.
And he says that they rose up, his camp group rose up and helped to cheer for Ketel Marte.
So why don't we take a listen to it? Because we've got this. This courtesy of CHSN. This was Ketel Marte's first at bat on the south side today.
Ketel Marte steps in. And a good hand from everybody here at the ballpark. Last night, Marte caught some words from a fan that clearly went over the line. And there is a very clear line here in this game. Those kind of words have consequences. Those consequences have been meted out. It is unacceptable. And it's been pretty incredible to watch this Diamondbacks team and White Sox team rally around Marte the way they have here in the last 12, 15 hours.
Look, we encourage you to root and cheer as much as you want, certainly for the White Sox. We do get a lot of fans of the other teams coming in, but there's a certain amount of language that would be allowed and correct, and there's a whole lot of language that you best leave at home.
Or maybe even not at all.
I'm with you, Connor. That's Connor McKnight that's in for John Schriffen.
I was going to say, John Schriffen sounded good there.
That was Connor McKnight.
He really did.
It was not him. It was our guy, McDoink.
That was it.
Yeah, and he and Steve Stone were together for the last couple days. I think Schriff is back. I shouldn't call
Two
him.
Games.
I don't know him to call him Schriff. John will be back tomorrow, right?
Yeah, these are pre-planned absences.
Yeah.
He's doing another sport, I think, something like that.
Yeah. So
good for him.
Connor always does a great job when he sits in. He's a really talented broadcaster and a beloved friend.
And the biceps on that guy.
All Connor does is watch baseball when he's not watching Star Wars, chase after his adorable child, and rock climb.
That's
all he does.
So does he rock climb while chasing after his adorable child?
Yeah. If you've seen Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, it's basically like Peter B. Parker and his daughter. It's exactly like that.
Guess what? I have seen that one.
So you get the reference.
I do.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
I like it.
Let's give it up right
and
there.
Do you know who does the voice for Peter B. Parker?
No.
Our guy, Jake Johnson.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
See?
He's Peter B. Parker.
I know him too. Man.
But that's exactly what Connor and his daughter are like. It's like Peter B. Parker and his daughter. She's got the little mask. He takes her on adventures, that sort of thing. And
that's
they rock
awesome.
Climb.
That's awesome. Well, you
and
know.
And then they go home and play four-dimensional chess with his brilliant wife.
And now I've forgotten all that stuff.
Yeah.
You lost me again. You had me, and then you lost me.
Well, she's brilliant.
Okay.
So
I believe that.
Yeah. Yeah. And he is, too. But
I am not.
How about Connor finding a woman smarter than him? That's crazy.
That's impressive. That's an old score trick.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
It's very score
it
to
really
find
is.
Someone who's smarter than you.
You must find a woman. Alex, take this to heart. Tyler, everybody, take this to heart. Find a woman who can live life in circles around you. Just way better at the basic functionality of human life. Because we're not good at it.
If you look at the history of the guys here at the score, they've gotten married. That is a truism.
Oh, man. Yeah.
We're like, oh, look at us.
Christine's going to start a TikTok called How to Live Life. Just little snippets of little items and things that happen during the day that you could do better.
Look,
trust me.
You know that when your wife walks into the room, I immediately feel better about life.
Right, and you stand straighter, don't you?
I very much do.
I do, yeah. I'm right there with you.
She is such a calming influence. I remember like that Super Bowl show that we did.
Yeah.
We did that crazy Super Bowl show where it was all of us, and my anxiety was through the roof. And then she walked in, and I was like, you know what? I actually feel better.
Oh, it's lovely.
And she's like, how are you? And I was like, can I tell you something? can we talk? Are you asking a real question? Because I want to give you a real answer. And I did. And she was like, it's going to be okay.
It's going to be okay.
And I was like, you know what? It is. It is going to be okay.
I know. I drained that power source dry.
I am a big fan of Steen, man. Big, big fan.
I got to be careful not to just take too much of it every single day.
Yeah. It's like your relationship with Joe Buck.
She gives me a little more serenity than Joe. You can tell him.
Yeah. Well, I don't think he got a problem with
that. I haven't asked him for a favor in almost 2.5 months.
That's because we know when we want to ask the favor of Joe Buck.
Yeah, I do time the favors.
It's connected to the first game of the season for the Bears.
I usually ask a favor, get him on the PBP once a year, but Bears are going to be good. Bears are going to be good, so we got to hold off on that.
So anyway, I know that we got off on a tangent there, but the White Sox have handled this thing really well. And I was talking to a few people over there today and saying, like, this isn't a White Sox problem. This is a person problem.
Well, but that's the thing. It's not about a White Sox fan base. And there's some texters taking shots, and those are easy shots to take. Lord knows there's a history of stuff there. But this is a humanity of fandom. Think about how many things we have heard in recent months. Liam Hendricks talking about people going after him online. Yeah. Other people, there have been all sorts of stories. People who lost bets then going after folks online.
That's still going on. Like, yes. There are people who have been trying to say, oh, well, you got to Venmo me money because I bet an over points for you tonight, or I bet an over RBIs for you. And you, I mean, that's kind of where we're at.
It's a societal decorum issue. And what is acceptable discourse and acceptable razzing? And as the players make more money, what do you as a fan have a right to say to try and get in somebody's head? And if you're 22, you're growing up, frankly, with a different level of public discourse that has grown to be acceptable over the last couple of decades than it was. And it's not great.
I mean, we deal with it a little bit here. A
little bit.
You know? And
that's just the way we talk to each other.
Yeah. But that's at least face-to-face.
That's true. We have to stand by. That's why there's a power when we get into it in transition or otherwise. And it's like, oh, wait a minute. Yeah, I said that to you, and I'm right here. What do you have to say back to me? What do you got? Let's go.
The belt.
That's how you lead. Some parenting advice I don't accept.
That probably wouldn't even really be the way that if I had a child, I would raise one.
I don't know. You've intimated that it worked for you.
It did.
Just the threat of the belt, right? It would just show you the belt.
No, I mean.
Yeah, you're cute, little dad. I can't see him actually.
No, it was never him.
All right, that I guess I can see.
You weren't here to meet my hard-charging, strong mom. Everyone else did, though, and now they get it.
Hard-charging. Is she a safety?
If she played football, she probably would be.
The Doug Plank of mothers?
This is a woman who was raised on Chicago's West Side and taught on Chicago's West Side.
Yeah. Got to be pretty tough and strong.
Yeah, she's pretty tough. Mm-hmm. She's also not small. Like, that's the other thing. Like, my dad is, you know, adorable, and he's small.
Yeah.
But they're the same size. Like,
damn.
She's legitimately 5'8".
That's why you can't bring up his predilection for Lola Falana.
Yeah.
Can't bring that up.
I will get a frying pan thrown your way. For sure.
I looked up Lola Falana after that conversation. I get it. I just want to say to Mr. Holmes, I understand.
Yeah. Well, Lola Falana is fantastic. But yes, the discourses that happen now need to be... I'm glad that there was this course correction. I hope that this young man really does some introspection. And it would be great if at some point if Ketel Marte felt comfortable, if the Diamondbacks felt comfortable, that there was an actual apology and discourse.
Man, that would actually be beautiful. You just gave me that, gave me a nice warm cozy as I imagined that, because a 22-year-old is obviously capable of learning and course correcting.
I believe in that. I believe in giving people another chance, and it sucks that this is the type of lesson that you have to learn.
It takes
because you haven't learned lessons before.
I know, but it's like, and there's a level of exhaustion that sometimes we don't have the capacity for. I always think of the moment. Do you remember when Sarah Silverman, the stand-up comic, was heckled by an online hater? So an online hater like came after her in really mean and vicious ways. And she decided to take the time to respond and talk and go back and forth with this guy. And they ended up having an unbelievable exchange about his sadness and feelings of being alone. And he ended up admitting some stuff that was behind his anger. And like a whole bunch of people then came to his support and he made friends and like people suggested support groups and stuff. It was an amazing and wonderful human interaction that is possible with enough patience and effort.
It's the hope that you can have that. But unfortunately, there are so many stories on, there are people that you try to get through to that have, they don't want there to be an actual conversation. They right. are just trying to be jerks about it. And I feel awful for Ketel Marte that this isn't even something. This is something completely out of his control and something that's clearly devastating to him. So I'm glad that Major League Baseball stood behind the White Sox. The White Sox stood behind Ketel Marte, and baseball itself will kind of wrap their arms around this guy. And White Sox fans that were at the game today, including your son,
yep,
wrap their arms around that young man and say, hey, man, we got you. That it's not right. And bullying can take on a lot of forms. And that's the form that it took last night.
So Sarah Silverman ended up paying the medical bills of this guy after they had forged a relationship. So turning, you know, turn one, you can turn a lot.
I appreciate her effort, but she shouldn't necessarily have to when someone comes at her that way.
For sure.
You know, but here's hoping. Here's hoping. We can hope, right?
Yep.
That's okay. It's an okay thing.
It's not a plan.
No.
Hope sometimes is a plan. Well, that now we're segueing to the Bulls front office.
Well, good. Ricky O'Donnell, Ricky Charisma himself has got some thoughts on that next on The Score.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Spiegel and Holmes.
All right, well, we navigated that pretty well. I was worried, but I'm always worried.
So. That's your thing.
Yeah, that's my bit.
Afternoons on The Score.
I just feel like the process is already so bad. If the report was true that John Hollinger reported in The Athletic that, you know, the Bulls had potentially the Grizzlies draft pick to take for Lonzo, you do that trade 100 times out of 100. That's not second guessing. This is like obvious. That would have been an amazing return for Lonzo. You know, what is he going to do with Vooch? What's he going to do with Kobe? Yeah. Like, just seems like Arturas is always late. And it backfires, right. It hurts the team, and he sucks.
Ricky O'Donnell of SB Nation doesn't pull a lot of punches. He has covered the Bulls for a really long time. And he's got long thoughts, which is why we thought it was appropriate to bring him on to the Spiegel and Holmes show and talk to him about the draft as we get ready for the Bulls and drafting. He joins us now on the Circa Sports Illinois hotline, circalasvegas.com. Ricky, thanks for joining us. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me, guys.
You got it, man. So, yeah, Arturas gets to be bad and keep his job. Everybody gets to keep their job and just roll on. But we do have a very public face swap that has arrived. Mark Eversley is going to speak tonight. We just got word Mark Eversley is going to be on the Score tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. What do you make of Eversley as front man tonight and tomorrow for Bulls draft news?
Well, I think it's a signature trait of a Jerry Reinsdorf executive that you have to be very thin-skinned. We saw this with John Paxson before when he once called the interviews on your radio station interrogations. And it feels like Arturas Karnišovas also doesn't want to face the music. So feels to me like he's hiding a little bit. Eversley is going to be the one, you know, speaking tonight after the draft to you guys tomorrow. To me, it's just a little embarrassing. Arturas should be out here defending his process, not being ashamed of, you know, any secret Reinsdorf extensions. And I think he should be facing the music instead of putting it on Eversley.
Yeah, and it's funny, at the end of the year press conference, he kind of like puffed out his chest in a weird way where he's like, yeah, you're the same person that picked us to only win 29 games. And look at us, we won 39 games. And I was like, oh, that is a strange flex that you're making right there, Arturas. So I'm not surprised that maybe they want to change the way that they approach their messaging.
Well, that's the other thing. So I don't know if it's counterpoint that I want to go, or is just necessarily Eversley's better at it, right? Don't you think Eversley has potential to be better at articulating whatever the vision is than Arturas, Ricky?
Yeah, I think you can't get any worse than Arturas when it comes to explaining your thought process. So that checks out to me. And I'm interested to hear what Eversley has to say. He has given some good interviews over the years. So, you know, we'll see what the Bulls do tonight. And it's definitely going to be a critical offseason for them, full of important decisions to shape the future of the franchise.
Ricky, when you look at the major injuries inside of the Eastern Conference, what do you think it will do to the Bulls' strategy? Because there's a part of me that worries that their strategy is, well, a lot of other teams are getting worse, so that immediately makes us better, versus them going out and actually trying to get better.
Yeah, I just don't think they're close enough yet for like an all-in sort of move to acquire a highly paid veteran. They really need to go the other way and just be thinking that, like, all right, let's acquire some future assets. What we have here isn't really working, and they can prioritize the future. But Arturas' vision is to go for young players with experience. To me, you only get young players with experience if the team that drafted them doesn't want to hold on to them. So I think it's just a very flawed plan at its core, and it's really trying to take a shortcut instead of doing a proper rebuild. And when Arturas was talking to the media, he said that, you know, he wants to take a patient approach, or he wants the fans to be patient, I should say. And really, I think the fans want him to be patient, and they want him to build this thing organically in a way that is sustainable for a team that can be competitive for an Eastern Conference championship. And when Arturas talks about being competitive, it seems like his bar is to be the eighth seed in the East. That is a pathetically low bar that no one should be satisfied with. So that's what I would worry about with the Bulls. Do they try to accelerate this rebuild a little bit too soon at the cost of future assets? Hey, right now, at the moment, the Bulls have all their draft picks. We haven't said this in a long time. They also only have one bad contract on the books at the moment with Patrick Williams. He's only making $18 million a year. It's not really a debilitating contract in terms of the team building sense. So I would just like the Bulls to take a long-term sober view at where they're really at in the East and try to prioritize the future over the present.
I saw some of your choices for the Bulls where they sit at number 12, and one of them is Kaman Maluach from Duke. I was reading more about his situation, and I'm worried about if you do pick him, no matter what team in the NBA, including Toronto, and maybe even especially Toronto, the visa situation seems to be something to worry about with a player that's got great pedigree and great size. I wonder if there is a political element that might cause people to not draft this young man from South Sudan.
Yeah, that would be heartbreaking and disgusting and totally unacceptable. So hopefully that doesn't happen. As a prospect, I really love Maluach. I think that he has an enormous ceiling. He He was discovered by Luol Deng back in the day. He's only been playing basketball for 5 years. He already played in the Olympics this past season on South Sudan's team at only 17 years old. The rapid progression of his game in the short time he's been playing the sport has been really astounding. And, you know, he's also 7'1" barefoot with a 7'6" wingspan. He's a good free throw shooter. He's an elite finisher inside on pick and rolls, and I think he's going to shoot threes long term. He wants it to be part of his game, even though Duke wouldn't let him do it last year. So to me, he's the home run pick. Like, if the Bulls did tank and ended up getting the third or fourth pick in the draft, I would want them to take Malawach. I don't think he's going to be on the board at number 12, but I'm really rooting for him, and I certainly hope that his career is able to play out as it should.
Wow, home run pick. That'd be your guy tonight. If he falls to 12, where are you on Derek Queen? We talked a lot about Derek Queen earlier in the show.
Yeah, Derek Queen's cool. To me, he's one of the boom or bust pick of this draft. You just don't see big men who can handle the ball as well as Derek Queen can handle the ball. And he's 6'10", 250 pounds. Guys just bounce off him as an elite driver of the basketball. He can play through contact. He can finish through contact. So he's just a really unique player. Now, the thing that gets me about Queen is I don't know how he translates to being a role player in the league. I think he's either going to be an all-star with the ball in his hands, or he's going to really struggle because he's kind of a zero position defender. He's just not a very good defensive prospect, especially for a big man. He only made 7 threes last year, so floor spacing, not really part of his game. And I think that really, like, you have to run the offense through him. What you want to do is surround him with sort of athletic wings and defenders the same way the Houston Rockets have surrounded Alperen Şengün and let him create with the ball in his hand. So I'm hoping that Queen finds a good situation. He's a really fun player to watch. And, you know, he was someone I was skeptical of a little bit during the season for the reasons I laid out. But he was just so special in the tournament. And sometimes when you see a guy who's that big who can drive the way he can, you can talk yourself into the ceiling. So if the Bulls do take Derek Queen tonight, I'll talk myself into it. And I just hope that they're able to sort of put him in the right context to be the best player he can be.
What do you think they should do with Josh Giddey?
Yeah, I think it's important for the Bulls not to bid against themselves when it comes to Josh Giddey. And when that Kristaps Porzingis trade went down last night, a three-team deal between the Celtics, the Nets, and the Hawks, the Nets got a first-round pick for free, basically, for taking on a bad contract. And Terrence Mann, that takes up a little bit of their cap space. The Nets are really the only team that had cap space this summer. So now who is going to bid against the Bulls for Josh Giddey? The only team that could really do it is Brooklyn. They just took themselves out of the game to get a free first-round pick. I think that's a very smart move on their part. So if I were the Bulls, I mean, you got to try to keep his salary low just because hopefully when they inevitably fire Arturis, somebody else can reshape the team and try to move off Josh Giddey without it being too onerous of a contract. I think something around $20 million would be fair, and I don't think Josh Giddey's going to find a better deal anywhere else. So that's probably where I would try to draw the line.
I was giggling because I was imagining who above Arturis would make like a holistic decision like that. Like, well, we better, you know, let's try and keep this in line for the next guy. Ricky, I was thinking about you because I realize just how much I'm going to miss Peter Patton. When I look at all these people, I mean, you wrote about Colin Murray-Boyles, who has shooting issues. There's Jack Kachonis, the Lithuanian from Illinois, only shot 31.8% from last year. Igor Demin, or is it Demin? I think it's Demin. His three-point percentage is an issue. Even Lawrence's guy, McNeely, was a 31% three-point shooter. Like, everybody needs a shooting coach, and they've fired the shooting coach. So it doesn't bode well for me.
Makes no sense. They better hire another one. Because if you're the Chicago Bulls and you're printing money, selling out every game, and, you know, bringing fans to the United Center to watch a mediocre product, the least you could do is invest in the infrastructure of the team. I think hiring Peter Patton immediately paid dividends for the Bulls. It's disappointing he's not back. I sure hope they hire a replacement instead of just saving some money for the Reinsdorfs to pocket. But there's definitely a lot of prospects in this class who do need to improve their shooting. Colin Murray-Boyles, who is my preferred pick for the Bulls at number 12, I would be thrilled if the Bulls could get him. You know, the big hole in this game is shooting. So I think he has the mentality, after talking to him at the draft combine, to improve his shot. He has the work ethic to do it. But, you know, hopefully the Bulls or whichever team drafts him can give him the infrastructure to continue to develop his shot and help him be the best player he can be.
Ricky, what do you think of Bouzelas, and what did you think pre-draft last year of Bouzelas?
Yeah, so one of the things I do every year is the day after the draft, I publish my early draft board for next year. And when I did that for the 2024 draft, the day after the 2023 draft, Bouzelas was number one. So I loved his high school tape, thought it was really excellent. When he went to the G League Ignite, he struggled quite a bit. You saw some of the strength concerns. You saw the shooting just completely bottom out, going back to the pro line instead of, you know, the high school line. But I thought he had a fantastic rookie season. And to me, he's the only real reason to be excited about the Bulls' future. His shot blocking was astounding, I thought. He finished like top 15 in the NBA in block rate. To me, having a forward who can block shots like that gives you some more flexibility with the type of center you're going to put next to him. Potentially, he could be a good fit next to Derek Queen. If you know, you need more of a rim protector next to Queen, Bouzelas can provide some of that. I thought Bouzelas' shooting was definitely a pleasant surprise last year. How much do you credit Peter Patton for that? And will Bouzelas' shooting revert a little bit without Patton on staff? You hope not. But I just think he's got a really complete game. He's a much tougher player than he looks at first glance because he's so skinny. I think he's got a nice bag of moves in the half court to attack the hoop. And Bouzelas looks like a great pick to me. I think that he can be a really solid player for the Bulls. I think he could potentially be one of the best players coming out of the 2024 draft class. And I think, you know, they got that one right. At least it looks like they did so far.
What's Ace Bailey doing?
I love Ace Bailey. So I was in the gym to watch Ace Bailey against Northwestern. And that was some of the greatest stuff I've ever seen in my life. He had 37 points in that game on 10 dribbles. It was a rise and fire masterclass during a game when Dylan Harper was out. And you could see everything that makes him potentially a special prospect. 7-foot wingspan, huge athleticism, great shot-making touch. You want to buy into it, you want to believe. But to me, Ace Bailey just doesn't really know how to play basketball yet, and that's fine. He was born in, like, I think August 2006. He's a baby. He never even saw a Devin Hester return kicks as a rookie.
Oh, my God.
So I would say that Bailey needs to improve his feel for the game. How do you improve your feel for the game other than just, like, get older and practice more? I'm not really sure. To me, his focus is just a total wild card. He just doesn't seem engaged when he's on the basketball floor. At the same time, though, he's got these ridiculous athletic tools defensively where he can recover to the rim and block shots and do some special things. So I'm rooting for Ace Bailey. I hope that he gets in a good situation for himself, but it sure sounds like Ace Bailey's camp is pushing him towards a team where he can up his points per game and try to be a primary option, more so than be a 3-and-D style role player, which I think would be the best scenario for him. So it's been a tough go for sure for Ace Bailey, but hey, he's betting on himself. He wants to make a lot of money in his second contract. I can't hold that against him.
Remember the reports of this wacky offseason and all the trading that was going to happen? And we've seen a bunch of it already. Over-under is set at 0.5 for Bulls on the roster to be traded as part of the draft tonight. Over-under.
Part of tonight's draft. You know, when in doubt, expect Arturis Karnišovas to do nothing. That's kind of his MO since he's become the Bulls' general manager. So I would take the under on that one for sure. But we'll see. I mean, this roster needs a lot of work. So if someone is whispering in his ear, pushing him to work a little bit harder, try a little bit harder, it should be over.
Ricky, thanks so much for the time and for damn for the truth. We appreciate you, man. Thank you for coming on.
Thanks, guys.
All right, man.
That is Ricky O'Donnell. Of hilarious. SB Nation. He has got candy for everybody, and I appreciate that about him. We'll have more Bulls draft NBA conversation with Gary Parrish coming up at 5. When we come back, we left it to Baby T because we were like, we should talk about dunks going to the Hall of Fame and Jonathan Toews being back. And Baby T was like, hell no, we should talk about Aaron Rodgers. So we're going to talk about Aaron Rodgers next on the score.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores?
How many kids to a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Gore.
It's interesting the amount of power that people think that I have.
Aaron Rodgers, he is back in the league, and now he is saying that this might be it. This is probably it.
Yeah, he said, when I go away after all of this, you won't see me. You won't see me around. You buying that? That Aaron will just disappear and not be in the public eye in some way?
Because I am not. I never know what to say about Aaron, to tell you the truth.
Ah, let me take over then, Lawrence. I got this one. This is an incredibly arrogant man. And he has arrogance that masquerades as enlightenment. You know what I mean? Makes it seem like that. And he's as hypocritical as anybody I have ever witnessed in the history of pro sports. Just reeks of it. Oh, my God. And the fact that he also tortured the Bears makes it real easy to hate him on all these levels, because it's all right there for you. And how much of his personal life has he put out there on blast for the world to know about? Maybe the 3-part documentary that he self-produced on Netflix, where he offers himself to. And now he has the arrogance on the McAfee show, which he goes on to publicize himself, to just say how twisted the people are for wanting to know about his marriage.
The entitlement to information about my private life is so ridiculous and embarrassing. Like, hey, do what you gotta do, but just, you know, try and leave me out of a conversation, sports world, for a month. Try and just leave me out, my personal life, my professional life. Try not to talk about me. Try not to still be relevant for the next 6 weeks, 5 weeks, whatever it is. Just see if you can do that.
He's the one begging and hoping for relevance and putting himself out there, and he's gotten it. So that's fine. Just take it. But don't twist it around and tell us we're the problem.
I will defend him a little bit. I agree with you. The stuff that he has allowed us into, where we are getting his thoughts on political views in the world, his feelings about psychedelic drugs, retreats, like all that other stuff. Like, I do think that is fair for us to talk, because he has openly been like, hey, here it is. When it comes to his relationships, he has actually been, that's not something that he's talked a ton about, whether it was with Danica or whether it was with Shirlene Woodley or Blue of Earth. I always put that article in there. It doesn't need to be there. I am okay with allowing him to be able to have that part of his private life private.
What about him bringing it up in December on the McAfee show that he's in a relationship? On his own show, he brings it up and reveals that her name is Brittany. He brought it up and said that her name is Brittany. And now, in this next public appearance, because she has some sense of human and personal boundaries that he does not.
A lot of people don't like that.
So now he's got to take this hypocritical pose, because she wants her boundaries respected.
And I agree with you that it then you can just say that I would prefer, hey, I was out of bounds, like, putting her out there.
Sure.
And I really don't want to talk about us. I think that
would be totally cool.
Instead of, you guys
are sick and twisted,
right,
for chasing down the information that you basically gave out on your show.
I also don't think that he's just going to go away. I think that he will be in the public eye some way, perhaps even in politics, where when it looked like he might go away after last season, there was talk that he would be part of this current administration. So I think he's got a lot of things that he thinks that he's good at.
Yeah.
And I think that that he will figure out a way to continue to be in the public eye.
Future candidate for governor of California.
I don't think that's the state that he could win at. I think there are a couple others that he could move to and maybe win, but I don't think that one.
Montana?
Maybe.
Idaho?
Idaho would be perfect for him.
Wisconsin?
Not Wisconsin.
Not anymore.
But Idaho, that's about right.
How about a Rogers Favre ticket in Wisconsin?
Well, yeah.
Got you thinking.
The Rogers Favre ticket in Mississippi.
Oh, now you're getting somewhere.
Yeah, getting us sued. That's what I'm out here doing.
Well, the other place you're getting to is Canada.
Yeah.
You're going. I know.
Speaks.
Eventually.
You know the length of the New Deal. It's over. You can find me in Quebec City.
Congrats on the new paper. I haven't paid for a coffee in 3 days around here.
Yeah. Why'd you Venmo me?
Because I wanted to pay for a coffee.
No, it's not allowed.
You've been getting
allowed.
Me coffees and, you know.
Got to get Mr. Spiegel his coffee.
See, I wanted to avoid that. It didn't work. Didn't work.
Whatever. No, it's one partner buying another partner coffee.
That's right.
And
that's
you need it to function sometimes.
I need it to function, and right now I'm a hobbler.
You are. We need to talk about that later on.
Sometime we will.
Yeah, Speegs is now a Batman villain named the Hobbler. We'll explain. But when we come back, we're going to talk more buckets with Gary Parrish. We like to know what national people think about the Bulls, and they kind of always are like, meh. We'll find out if he's meh about your Bulls next here on The Score.
Well, he's just dumber than a box of rocks, isn't he?
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.